Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may my words and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the recurring motifs throughout the Hebrew Bible, which is where today's lesson from Genesis comes from, is that of covenant. God establishes a covenant with humanity and indeed all living things in this story from Genesis in the early chapters. God establishes a covenant with Abraham and his descendants later on in the book of Genesis. God is establishing covenants with people. What is unusual about this? Well, the fact is that covenants were a pretty common tool of diplomacy back in the ancient Near East. And if you remember your history lessons from school, you may remember the feudal arrangements that existed in Europe. And in those, traditionally, the king was able to offer his protection and his power to the benefit of his lieges, all of whom pledged themselves to his cause. In the ancient Near East, that kind of arrangement existed too. However, it was always the people who were in need of something who were offering themselves up to the ruler, not the ruler offering himself up to those in need of his power. Today's story flips that dynamic on its head. God is supposedly the king of the universe, the one who made the universe. And God has now chosen to extend his protection to all humanity and to all living things. What does that tell us about God? Well, it tells us something we really need to know as we enter into Lent. We talk about God being just and merciful and patient. And we see that behavior here in this story. God has chosen to renounce, to refrain from the use of this tool for disciplining humanity. People did not do anything to earn this reprieve from God. God decided that he was upset with what he did. So yes, God can experience feelings and emotions. Would we do well to follow God's example? If we could show some forbearance before we got angry with people, before we lashed out at them, before we bore grudges, before we acted on that anger, life would probably be a lot easier for us. If you've got high blood pressure, which I do, one of the ways to get that to spike a little bit is to get good and angry, hot under the collar. Now, I'm not one who likes to storm around and rant and rave. I'll let it build up inside of me. That's not healthy. And God has decided that getting so angry with humanity that he's going to wipe us all out is not what God wants to do. Now, you'll notice the fine print here. God has not forsworn any way of destroying us, only by the floods. God has not forsworn the ability for us to destroy ourselves. So I'm not going to give you an environmental lecture today, but anthropogenic climate change, we can do that if we want. Nuclear weapons, we can blow ourselves up if we want. God has not promised us that we won't do those things. But God has promised not to unleash the flood waters on us. Now you might be sitting here saying, okay, that's just a Bible story from long ago. There was no flood that wiped out all life on earth. Well, guess what? There was a cataclysmic flood event in the Near East. There is evidence of that in the archaeological record. And that story was passed down from prehistory into historic times through the myths and stories that were told in Mesopotamia, and the stories that appear in our Bible. But what was the purpose of telling that story? People believed that humanity was given a second lease on life. And that was a pretty big deal. So we all like second chances, don't we? At least we like to receive them. Maybe we don't always want to extend it, but we want to be given another chance. And there was that belief in the ancient world, and particularly in ancient Israel, that humanity had been given a second chance. We'd messed up once. Hopefully, we wouldn't mess up again. Now, Israel found out, well, they could mess up again, couldn't they? They found that they were sent into exile. And the destruction of the northern kingdom and then the kingdom of Judah was very much a flood event. But Israel held on to its beliefs. Now, what good does that do us? Well, what kind of God are we seeking forgiveness from? Really? My hope is that we are turning to God, repenting to God, because we believe we are in need of forgiveness. Each and every one of us. There is no one here in this room, me included, who is not in need of God's forgiveness. Now, I've said this before. I do not believe that our God is a God who wants to slap us around. But our God is one of justice. God is holding us to account. I cannot tell you everything God believes. But Scripture gives us a pretty good sense of what God is up to. So that's what Lent is for. It's a time for us to reflect, and it's a time for us to repent. Now, when Easter comes around, that doesn't mean we can stop repenting. It doesn't mean that everything is fine and dandy, and that we're forgiven, and we can just start sinning again. No. We need to continue to repent. We need to continue to reflect on who God is and what God does. So this call to patience isn't just for the next few weeks. It is for the rest of our lives. So I'm going to talk sports for a moment. I presume we've got some Red Sox fans here. You know, being a Red Sox fan, that you've got to exercise patience. You had to exercise patience waiting for them to finally win the World Series. And they did. And it was great. And then they won again and again and again. And now they've gone back to their losing ways. They're not going to win it all this year. I don't have any inside knowledge, just what I read in the Globe. But I am confident that the Red Sox are not going to field a World Series winning squad this year. My hope is that you're able to say I'm wrong come the fall. But I'm willing to bet money now that I'm not. But if you're a Red Sox fan, you will still root for them. You'll still be patient with them. You'll say those tired old words, well, maybe next year. God is saying that about us. Maybe next year they'll repent. Maybe next year they'll get their acts together. God is a God of relationship. God wants to know us. The frightening thing is God does know us. God knows what is going on inside our heads and in our hearts, each and every one of us. And for some bizarre reason, God chooses to keep us around. God did not need to make this covenant, but God did. God chose to cast his lot with us. And when the time came, God came down to us in the person of Jesus. And then what did we do to Jesus? And I'm going to use that phrase, we, not they, we. And it wasn't just some people we don't like, the Romans, or the Jews who are blamed for what happened to Jesus, though they did not do it. But it's us finding ways to reject what Jesus stood for each and every day. And yes, we say, oh, we're good people, we go to church. But we bear our grudges. We nurture our resentments. We indulge our hate. And sure, we're not marching around with signs and torches out in the streets saying, get rid of those bad people. But we talk about folks. We indulge in snark. And we're not being good Christians. That is what Lent is for. It is for time for us to focus on the need to repent. Repentance is really important because we read in Scripture that God repented. Think about that. God repented. God changed his behavior. Now, if you had a means of striking out at someone who'd really ticked you off, would you set it aside? Would you really? I don't know that we would. We humans really like to slap those people we don't like. That is not the way God wants us to be. There are folks and ideologies out there I don't like. And I'll talk with you about them after worship. But that doesn't mean I should let those resentments and animus drive my faith. I should let those things drive the way I live my life. It's a beautiful day today. I hope you're all enjoying it. This was not the kind of weather that was extant at the time of the flood. God gave people notice, but there was nowhere to run. Think about that, an all-encompassing flood. And maybe you can't imagine that. But you can imagine nuclear winter. You can imagine the planet boiling because we've messed up the climate so much. These days are not guaranteed. It is possible to mess things up so much that we can't make things better. And maybe we're not going to ruin the environment or nuke the world, but we can nuke our own lives. It is possible. And if you want to descend into hatred and animus and bitterness, have at it. I'm not going to want to spend any time with you. Not that I don't care about you. But we can all think of someone who likes to go on TV and rant and rage. And it's embarrassing to see that. And it's uncomfortable to be in the presence of that. So, we can look at this passage from Genesis, and we can remember that these were the only scriptures that Jesus had, the Hebrew Bible. There was no New Testament in the time of Jesus. These were the stories from which Jesus sought inspiration. These are the stories from which Jesus sought to know God and God's people. And we can remember that Jesus, inspired by these lessons, inspired by his relationship with God, chose to go out and serve people. To heal them, to preach to them, to teach them, to be with them. That's a pretty big deal. You may wonder what people in power have to do with you. Do they care about you? Do they think about you? God does. Each and every day, in each and every moment. There's a sort of dark saying about giving someone enough rope to hang themselves. Sadly, we've each been given that piece of rope. God is not going to stop us from doing that. But God has shown us the way to avoid succumbing to temptation. That's not a bad offer. And remember, God, as the creator of the universe, needs nothing from us. Absolutely nothing. God does not need us to worship him. God does not need us to offer him a sacrifice. God does not need us to offer him a flag or our money. God does not need us. But God wants us. Think about that. God wants each and every one of us. No matter how broken we may feel, no matter how messed up our lives are, God wants us. And even more than wanting us, God loves us. That is an important thing for us to remember during Lent. And that is an important thing for us to remember throughout the year. So I titled today's message, Let's Make a Deal. And you're probably wondering whether I was going to talk about the game show. I'm not, but I will for a moment. Most of you, I suspect, remember the show back when Bob Barker was the host. And you remember the idea is that three people come out and they guess what they think certain items are going to cost. Barker built a good career on that show. And Barker was a generous man. He was a man who cared about animals and animal welfare. And he gave a lot of money to advance that cause. Barker made a deal with himself and his beliefs that he was going to use what he had to help advance those causes. Animal welfare is not a bad thing to care about. Human welfare is not a bad thing to care about. Those are the kinds of things we can focus on during Lent and afterwards. We can focus on treating one another with kindness and with patience and with love. Would you please join me in spirit prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the gifts of Scripture, for the stories that inspire us and challenge us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.